The Guardian.
Euro 2012 Football Daily with James Richardson from The Guardian.
Euro 2012 Football Daily, Day 6, a special knickers and bums edition. Ronaldo has pants performance, Bentner scores brace but is in trouble for not being Nicholas. Elsewhere, swinging Germans leave Kharkiv on top of the table before they put their clothes back on, while Dutch go home empty-handed. All the excitement of Day 6 relived, plus a breathless look forward to Day 7, Spain-Ireland. The Irish with their backs to the wall like Cassano in the Italy dressing room. And what's going to happen as Croatia take on the Azzurri? All of that and more in Euro Daily. Whoa! Hello, everybody, and what a privilege it is to be here in Kharkiv with Barry Glendinning and Scott Murray. Woo!
Hello, Jimbo.
Hey, all right, and that's metal noises. Big factory town, Kharkiv. Big factory town.
And it has a massive square. It's got...
The sixth biggest square in the world.
No, the 12th in the world, the sixth in Europe.
Oh, all right.
Johnson Wilson's the 10th biggest square in the world.
Bless. Anyway, terrific to see you, Barry.
Thanks.
You got a bit of a Europod sabbatical coming up, haven't you?
Sort of, yeah. Just between a couple of days off and then the vagaries of the sport rota, I won't be here for a while, which many listeners will be delighted to hear.
That's right. Tell you what, it's been a terrific tournament this, Scott. But has it been the worst tournament in living memory for commentary?
It was pretty bad, yes, but especially bad this evening with Mark Lawrenson and Jonathan Pearce.
No names, no pack drill, but Laura, really. The thing is, commentators, football commentary seems to become a sort of byproduct of their real role, which is either to do kind of Shakespearean Henry V-esque declamations about presidents and paupers, or audition for their future role in a musical production, a la Laura. But I'm astonished because Germany-Holland, what an occasion. And they spend all these days building up to the fact they're bringing it live. And then when the game's actually going on, they just giggle off mic and...
At their own jokes.
Extremely bad own jokes as well. I mean, the other thing as well...
That's our job.
Yeah. When the game was coming to sort of tumultuous climax and Holland were after this this equaliser that they never got, Jonathan Pearce spent most of his time trying to make a huge drama out of Arjen Robben walking around the pitch. And it was just never happening. First, he was apparently storming off to the dressing rooms as he turned the corner, and it came clear it was then because he was posing in front of the cameras in his own fans.
Yeah, he also took his shirt off on a hot night after he'd been playing football.
Yeah.
Have that, Holland.
At which point, Laura went, there's no I in team, Arjen, when in fact the Dutch for team is Ekip. And which does have an eye in your face, Laura. Suck on that.
Tell you what, that is research. Good. Anyway, Germany, Holland, Scott. That's what we're here to talk about. Netherlands, Germany. I should say you did minute by minute, didn't you, Scott? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean Germany were fantastic for the most part. Müller was amazing. Schweinsteiger was amazing, and Gomez was amazing, and they were the ones that went ping, ping, ping both times for the goals. The Dutch didn't really turn up at all until near the end, and it was coincidentally the time where something seemed to have clicked in Robin's head that if you actually pass to your teammates, rather than constantly cutting inside and aiming for the top corner, things may occasionally happen.
There was a lot of talk before the game that they were going to rejig the lineup, although then Mark is going to rejig the lineup and put in Van der Vaart and take off a defensive midfielder and that. And that also seemed to coincide with a bit of a return to form by Holland, is that right? When those changes did eventually come.
Yeah, although I think a lot of it was they just picked up their tempo a lot. They just seemed to be swanning around. They were just never quite at the races. And like, you know, Schneider kept trying and sort of trying to prompt, but he was sort of trying to do the same things Schweinsteiger was doing, but Schweinsteiger was just keeping it incredibly simple. Just pop a ball down the channel, bang, goal. Whereas Schneider was trying to be a wee bit more angular, and it wasn't quite coming off.
What about Mario Gomez? I remember one summer night in 2008 being struck by a tall, angular figure in a Germany shirt, and his extraordinary miss in front of an open net there. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember it well.
Yeah.
Well, apart from in the intervening years, he's blossomed into quite the George McFly lookalike.
Yeah. Danny Scott says, do you think Gomez has started scoring ever since his would-be girlfriend fell for a young lad claiming to be from the future? One of many tweets riffing on that resemblance.
Well, I don't know what has prompted him to start scoring, but he has been in spectacular form throughout the season. He scored over 40 goals for Bayern Munich, except when they really needed him to in the Champions League final, and he couldn't hit the proverbial cow's arse with a banjo. But he's got his eye in again, and presumably Germany will get to the final, whereupon he'll do his usual sort of massive game bottle job, and somebody else will beat them.
You think?
I'm being unfair. His goals tonight were very well taken. Yeah. Confident strikes. His aim was true, and they were laid up on a plate for him by teammates. So, you know, if you contrast his wonderful performance with that poor chap at left back for Holland, Jethro Willems, who I felt sorry for him. I was very surprised he came out for the second half, actually. I thought he should have been put out of his misery. But did he improve in the second half?
He did, in as much as he didn't do anything particularly bad. The one thing I would say, you were sort of riffing on Gomez there a wee bit. I just like widen that out a wee bit to Bayern Munich, who have got this amazing reputation for blowing things in the last minute. This is the second game now that Germany have, you know, who are made up with quite a lot of Bayern Munich players, have begun to look quite rocky towards the end of the game, in a game that they look to have to be in, you know, pretty much in control of. And that's, I wonder if that might, you know, come back to haunt them a wee bit later.
Mm. Would you say they look better in this game than they did in the Portugal game, the first one? They're picking up speed.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, okay. Well, earlier on in this Euro Championships, we had a very glum-sounding Leander Schirrlach, and Lord knows what he's going to sound like now as we dial him up for his views on Holland's 2-1 defeat.
I think he was incredibly glum before they'd actually kicked a ball.
That's right, yeah. Leander Schirrlach was pretty appropriate word for what the Germans did to your team this evening, no?
Yeah, that's a little soon for jokes like that, but
sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, you have to laugh, though. Otherwise, what have you got? Except for, of course, that final game against... Who were they playing the final game? Portugal.
Portugal.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were glum before, how are you feeling now?
Almost vindicated, in a sense, because I've been saying all along that it was not going to happen for this team. The defense was just too poor. Doesn't make me feel any better about it, of course, but... You could kind of see this coming if you read between the lines and if you took a really good hard look at that team. And if even with two midfielders who really have nothing else to do but keep the Schweinsteigers and the Mesut Ozils of the world out of the game, and they can't even do that, well, you're not going to go very far, are you?
Well, that's true. There was a lot of talk before this game. We were just mentioning the fact that maybe Van Marwijk would make a change, and that didn't happen. Is he going to get hammered for that in the Dutch press?
I think he's going to get just absolutely obliterated for this game. The people started asking on Twitter, do you think he's going to get fired? And truth be told, I've no idea, because there's been no discussion of that whatsoever. That what's happened to Holland has been so unexpected, so traumatic, has so blindsided the Netherlands that there's not even really been any discussion of what happens if they don't make it out of the group. He's just extended his contract past 2016. He's been lauded as an excellent manager who's been able to sort of get all the egos out of the way. But judging by Wesley Sneijder's comments the other day, saying where the Dutch really needed to set their egos aside, and the way Holland has come out and played in these two games without an ounce of self-confidence or urgency, you really wonder if his time may not be up.
Mm. Do you see that changing at all, that atmosphere within the team as they head into this final game with Portugal?
Well, when people start publicly speaking about the egos needing to be put aside and everybody having to come on the same page, it's usually already too late. I don't get a sense from this team that they can turn it around. They've seemed glum the entire tournament. They've seemed uninspired, unmotivated. I just don't see it happening. Portugal is certainly not unbeatable, but they at least seem to want it. And you don't always get that sense watching this Dutch team. Again, Sneijder accepted.
Mm. Who will be the big scapegoat within the team, do you think? Will it be Robin or what?
I'm guessing Van Bommel. I mean, he was just really dire. I mean, he failed to close out Schweinsteiger on both of those excellent, excellent through balls to Mario Gomez. He's gonna get it pretty hard. Van Marwijk is gonna be criticized for not putting Huntelaar in sooner. But then again, the entire back line was poor, and Stekelenburg could have probably done better on that second goal. Mm. I mean, collectively, Van Persie had one good moment, but other than that, really, Wesley Sneijder was the only one who had a good game.
All right. Well, if Germany beat Denmark and Netherlands beat Portugal, then Netherlands still goes through. But at this point, the spectre of a Germany-Denmark, well, biscotto, as the Italians like to say, or arrangement, begins to rear its ugly head, no?
It's very, very possible. And, you know, it's only human nature to come to that sort of arrangement. I mean, the Germany must be thinking as well, well, hang on, we can get rid of Holland here. And maybe we don't see them as a threat, but it's better not to have them in the tournament than to have to deal potentially with Denmark down the line instead. I mean, pragmatically, they'd be crazy not to knock Holland out while they have the chance.
Absolutely. So, not too much optimism then ahead of the Portugal game?
No, I think it's over.
It's over. Leander, dreadful news, dreadful news. Well, let's hope that we'll be speaking to you after that and you'll have a big unvindicated smile on your face.
Let's hope.
All right then, Leander. You know, obviously with all due respect to fans of other teams from other nations and that. Nice one. That was Leander Schierleckens joining us there. Very good. Now, before any of that, the aforementioned Portuguese beat Denmark. Barry.
Yes.
Yes. All right then. On Thursday in Euroland. No, they did. Come on. Will Denmark be feasting, asked Charlie Wright, on another Delhi counter tonight? That was before the game. It was a cracking pun. Delhi counter because it's a counter-attack with Delhi, Crone Delhi. No. Okay.
I get it now.
But that wasn't to be, was it?
Yeah, it was a strange game. I was saying to you earlier, this was a game of four quarters.
Right.
So much as the first quarter was pretty dull. Second quarter was fantastic. The quarter just after halftime was dull again. And then the last 20 minutes were excellent. Portugal almost blew it. They were 2-0 up and apparently cruising. Cristiano Ronaldo missed a couple of sitters, one-on-ones with the keeper, where you'd normally expect him to score. The second one was particularly easy, and when he missed that, Denmark broke down the field and scored, pulled one back, sent Portugal into sort of nervy, their substitute, who's... their substitute, Silvestre Valera, came on and scored a beauty. To win it for them.
Indeed he did. Now, as you know, the pot has friends all over, top Euro celebrity friends, and amongst them is Pedro Pinto, who was following this game with particular interest because, of course, he's Portuguese and that. Let's now hear his reaction. Pedro from Warsaw, you lived through the extraordinary drama that was Denmark-Portugal.
I did indeed. We've been covering the violent clashes here over the last 24 hours or so, but I did get around 90 minutes, I guess, to watch what was going on in Lviv, and I did think they were going to throw that two-goal lead, give up 2 points, and practically say goodbye to the Euro, but Varela saved us and also saved Cristiano Ronaldo a lot of blushes.
Well, a lot of blushes. Would this team be better off with him maybe sitting out the next game, do you think, against Holland? I'm serious.
No, I don't. I think that it's very difficult to explain what's happening because 9 out of 10 times with a Real Madrid shirt on, he would have scored both of those chances, especially the second. Let's face it, that was as much as a sitter as you get. But you can't sit Cristiano Ronaldo. It's impossible. It's just not a possibility unless you make up some kind of disease that he has or some last-minute injury. You just can't do that.
Pedro, it's Barry here. How are you doing? Ronaldo seems to have brought most of his game to this tournament. There was the pouting, there was the blaming imaginary divots when shots went over the bar. He's got the nice hair. The only part of the game that's missing appears to be the fact that he's forgotten how to play football. To what do you attribute this?
I think you're being a bit harsh. I think that he hasn't forgotten how to play football. He has forgotten how to play at the level that he has all season at Real Madrid. If I could describe to you the amount of pressure he has on every time he puts on that Portugal shirt, it's unbelievable. At Real Madrid, he's got four or five other world-class players who he can share the responsibility with. with Portugal. I think every time he puts on that shirt, he's putting on the expectations of 10 million people. I spoke with him recently when I was in Madrid a couple of weeks ago, the week leading up to the Champions League final, and he told me, look, they expect me to pick up the ball, dribble five guys, and score every time I get it. I completely agree that he hasn't been good enough so far, but I think and I hope that he can still come good in the match that we're going to need him the most, which is against Holland.
On the plus side, Pedro, there were some excellent performances. The left-back Contrao was brilliant. Postiga was superb, I thought.
A lot of attention around Postiga leading up to this match. Be fair to say that about 70% of fans and media wanted someone else to get the striker position in the starting 11. But he silenced the critics. I agree that Quintrão was good. The problem with Portugal right now is we've always had a creative midfielder who can really slice open opposition defenses, whether that's Rui Costa, whether that was Deco in the last golden generation, so to speak. And we don't have one player like that now. You've got Veloso, who's solid defensive midfielder. You've got Meirelles, who's a box-to-box midfielder, but he's really not known for his creativity. And Moutinho, the same can be said about him. I think that's the main problem with Portugal now. The center defense, very good. Right left back, good. And we know about the wingers. It's just the field that's lacking that world-class quality, I think.
All right. Pedro, just going back to these 10 million people who are all expecting Cristiano Ronaldo to do his Royal the Rovers bit every game, is that genuinely the case, that the entire nation is sitting there waiting for him to sort things out, or is it a bit in his own head?
It's not. It's not in his head. The Spanish league is as watched as the Portuguese league back home. And they see him every weekend score 1, 2, 3, 4 goals for Real Madrid. They see him perform in the Real Madrid shirt. The pressure is just unbelievable to replicate that kind of form. In the last game before the Euro, Portugal played at home against Turkey. And after he missed a penalty, after he missed a couple of dribbles, he was pretty much jeered at the end of the game. There's something that's not right in the relationship between Ronaldo and the Portuguese fans. And we can compare it to what was going on with Messi and the Argentine fans until very recently. And he's kind of finally got that monkey off his back, has Messi. And I think Ronaldo needs a game when he scores a hat-trick or he scores one big goal for everyone in Portugal to kind of breathe a whole collective sigh of relief and say, okay, he's ours and he can do for us what he does for his club.
Do you think that game will be the Holland game?
Well, it has to be, because if it's not, then Portugal could be traveling back on an airplane in just a few days. I don't think there's a plan B here, because he is the guy who needs to make a difference. You can ask Nani to do what he did today, which was to supply a goal. You can ask Portugal to score on a set piece, which they did today, but you need Ronaldo, and you can't afford him to miss the chances that he missed against Denmark. It's just, it can't happen. And someone needs to work with him. I think the psychological side, manager needs to have a long chat with him. Maybe his teammates need to have a long chat with him, because he just needs to get with it. He needs to realize that he can do it, and he's going to do it. He's trying too hard.
Of all the players you'd expect to gel in this tournament, he really would be the number one. Strange that. Barry, you had one last
Pedro,
thing.
Just before we let you go, you're a famously handsome and charming man. Are your employers at CNN providing you with adequate protection from the famously attractive ladies of Warsaw?
Yes, because I'm on the roof of a hotel, and unless these hooligans have a very large trampoline to where they can attack me, I am safe at the moment. Wow. It was pretty scary in the center of the city yesterday. Unfortunately, it was a couple of 100 hooligans, really. That's what everybody's calling them here, who just wanted to cause trouble, and they did. I hope that when Russia play here again over the weekend, there won't be some kind of retaliation ideas by these far-right groups. But so far, you'll be pleased to know that I haven't felt my life in danger.
Excellent news, Pedro. All right, well, stick at it, and we hope to catch up with you again soon.
I hope that happens, and
excellent.
I hope we stay in the tournament.
Many thanks for joining us now anyway, Pedro. Ooh. Hey, those stats in full. Top players with the most shots at Euro 2012. Kurskov, 11, no goals. Ronaldo, 10, and no goals. Interesting. Very interesting.
Nicholas Bentner has two goals.
He certainly does, doesn't he? He certainly
and,
does.
And you've, it hadn't occurred to me,
yep,
because I haven't spent as much time in Italy as you. In fact, I spent about 20 minutes in Italy my entire life in Trieste airport. That I didn't realise that Germany and Denmark would probably have an arrangement.
Why?
Because I'm not as cynical as you.
I'm not cynical. It's just, it's hardly a new concept.
No, I know Germany, exactly what you mean. It just hadn't crossed my mind until you mentioned it. But that means Denmark will probably stay in the tournament, thus thereby affording Nicholas the chance to score more goals and win me stacks of cash for betting on to win the Golden Boot.
And that's what sport's all about.
Exactly.
Mm. Now, on Thursday...
That and sticking a finger up at all the people who ridicule me for even having the audacity to suggest he might be in contention.
Haters gonna hate, Barry.
Yeah, they are.
Now, ooh, Thursday. Hey, look, it says here, Italy are taking on Croatia. It's very interesting. We're into Group C. Now, let me just remember how this is. Italy have got a point. Spain have got a point. Croatia are top of the group with three. And Ireland have got nil points so far. Now, next up, Italy, fresh from their exciting adventures against Spain, take on Croatia. They've never beaten the Croats. Never. That's astonishing, isn't it?
How many times?
Well, it's not astonishing,
played,
is it? Because Croats have only been in existence
for
20
Italy,
minutes,
you know,
or so.
Thing is, Italy are quite a small team. The Croats are quite big. This three-man defence lark that they've been up to with the Spanish, is that going to work against a team with the aerial power that Croatia displayed against Ireland, Barry? What do you think? Mandzukic and all that? I don't know. What do you think, Scott?
My reaction would be similar. Other than...
It's a proper question, though, isn't it?
Other than, I thought the Italians looked fantastic against the Spanish.
Yeah, but they were playing a kind of
team that didn't give them
too many problems.
Yeah, in fairness, they were just playing the Spanish. But
still
looked pretty decent, I thought.
So, yeah.
And in fact, I would say Italy are the one team in this tournament who have exceeded any expectations. Most of the big teams have kind of disappointed in one way or another. Oh, apart from England, who didn't lose heavily.
No, they certainly didn't. They had a creditable 1-1 draw with a highly fancied France.
Yeah.
No, I'm just curious, because one thing we did say after the Spain game was the fact that the Spanish didn't really put the Italians under much pressure, and it might be a different story with the Croatians. It'll be interesting to see how this Italy side would respond to that. Other questions before this game? Will Prandelli drop Balotelli for dinner, Tali?
You know something?
Yes.
I think it would probably be better if you handed me that sheet of paper and I asked you those questions.
Well, I'm not going to answer them. I'm just going
to
ask
But I
questions.
Want to know what you think. You
I
know
think
more
he'll
about
go with Balotelli.
I
think he'll go with Balotelli. Will he drop Cassano
for his homophobic
comments? No, he won't.
I think that's a bit of a storm in a teacup, to
Do
be
you?
Honest. Yeah, I've read a few sanctimonious articles about how Cassano's well out of order, but I didn't think... I mean, he's an ill-educated oik, but the gist of the comments he made, that what I interpreted him to mean was, well, if there's gays in the dressing room, it's none of my business.
I think, fair enough. I think there's two problems with what Cassano says. And I think that... I can understand why people are saying... particularly because of that assumption, actually what he said wasn't so bad, it's not like he was being racist. It does almost need underlining what was so wrong about what he said. First of all, he used a slang term to describe gays. He basically called them puffs in the vernacular. And the second thing, he says, I hope not. So if I'm a public figure at a press conference and I'm asked, are there any gays in the pod? I'm not going to say, if I was to say, oh, I hope not, but if there are, that's their problem. Do you know what I mean? I think it was a bit out of order.
I just think people are just these days so bloody desperate to be offended by anything that they leap on stuff like that. I would criticise perhaps the Italian media handlers for sending someone like Cassano out to do a press conference in the first place, because it's bound to be trouble.
But the extraordinary thing is how this question even came up in the press conference. Yeah.
Well, I believe that it was asked in relation to some
Alessandro
gay
Cicchi-Paioni.
Journalist.
No, sorry, Alessandro Cicchi-Paioni, yeah. Who claims that he slept with a member of the national side, and that this member of the national side told him that he knows of another player in the Italy squad who's also gay, and there's another one who's bisexual. Which does raise a fascinating question. Who is the player who slept with Alessandro Cicchi-Paioni?
Well,
I'm not
going
to attempt to answer it, because it's none of our business, but yet I am really curious.
Why?
Well, of course you're curious. Wouldn't you be curious if you, if I don't know, if who's the equivalent? If Graham Norton came out and said, "I've slept with a member of the England team," wouldn't you be curious to know who it was? Yeah, I have a certain kind of gossipy nature. So anyway, there you go.
But didn't this guy also say there were three metrosexuals?
Yeah, which...
Well, who were they? What, and he named them. I don't even know what a metrosexual...
Yes, you do, Barry.
They walk around with man bags?
No, a metrosexual is somebody...
You know, they moisturise.
Yeah, all do it. What, it was delightful. The Italian papers all had to print little sidebars saying, "What is a metrosexual?" And then they were... But then he's a bit of a tease, this Cecchi Paoni, because he said... There's a bisexual, there's two gays, and there's three metrosexuals for whom there's hope in the future. Wink, wink.
Right.
Suggesting, and then he named them, suggesting that they're well on the road to you know, being off Cassano's Christmas card list. Anyway, we've wandered a little bit off the beaten track. So, there you go. Hey, tell you what do you think's going to happen in this game, Scott? Do you think Italy are going to win or not?
Yeah.
All right, because they failed to win their second group match at their last five major tournaments. Wow. They've drawn four of them and lost one. That's an amazing statistic, isn't it? Or isn't it? Perhaps not. I don't know.
I don't think it is. I suspect this match will be a draw and it'll go down to the last round of games.
I think they're going to get a bit of a slap in the face, the Italians here. But I might be wrong about that. Now, meantime, the other group game, Spain-Ireland.
Do we have to talk about this?
Yeah, we do, because, you know, Spanish are going to be feeling a little bit of pressure here. A little bit of pressure. I'm remembering back at the World Cup when Switzerland did a bit of a number on them.
Yes.
And the Spanish come into this, they've had a draw. If they draw again, if their goal-scoring problems continue, they could be in real trouble. They could head into the last group game against Croatia with the fate out of their hands. Ooh.
Yeah, I think if Trapattoni sends out the same Irish team in the same formation that he did against Croatia, that barring an absolute miracle, it's inconceivable that Spain won't win this game quite easily.
But surely things can't go... They were very unlucky that night, given... Well, unlucky and given had a mare, but Given can't play that badly again.
Well, the thing about Given is that I'm not so sure he's fit.
Ah.
And if I was Trapattoni, I'd take him to one side and ask him to look me in the eye and tell me, you know, are you fit to play? Or get him to tell Manuela, the translator, get him to look her in the eye and get her to say what he'd said. But the thing is, Given, even if his leg was hanging off, would still say, oh yeah, I'm fit, because Shea Given's raison d'etre is to collect Irish caps. And he's got 3,058 already and he wants more. I don't think he's fit. Maybe he just had a mare the other night, but I hope he's not playing when he shouldn't be. Mm. And we have to trust that he isn't. I think the Irish team needs a lot of changes. Stephen Ward needs to be dropped. Stephen Kelly to come in. I think they need to play an extra man in midfield. Darren Gibson, maybe from Everton. I would. And apparently the whole country of Ireland wants Robbie Keane dropped, which I would imagine would come as quite a shock to Robbie Keane if he hears this. But people are saying that him and Kevin Doyle should be dropped and that Shane Long should be playing up front.
Mm.
And perhaps with McGeady and McLean on the wings and maybe Damien Duff in midfield.
None of this is going to happen, though.
No, God, no. Not at all. It's all complete speculation. I suspect Trapattoni may bring in John Walters.
Right.
That'll be it. That's his answer. How do we beat Spain?
Right.
Bring in John Walters. A friend of the pod, Ken Early, who presents an excellent show on News Talk, he was saying the other night that made the interesting point that the top scorer in the Premier League this year in the Irish squad is James McLean from Sunderland. He's an exciting winger and he apparently has no chance of getting in the squad. And Trapattoni seems to be intimating, oh, I've just brought him along to give him some experience. But, you know, you wonder why bring these players along if you've no intention of playing them.
Because he'll probably be too old for the next tournament. Scott, with this notion that Ireland could cause Spain problems, no?
I reckon they're probably not going to cause them that many problems. But I think Spain might end up causing themselves a few problems, which, right, you know, if the way they've been playing of late, or certainly the way they played against Italy. But weirdly, they went through this, you know, amazing sort of preening, very pseudo-intellectual process of not picking a striker. And then suddenly when they had the fast lad up front and they were lumping long balls forward to him, chance after chance after chance. I mean, you know, they were all to Torres and he missed them all. But you think at some point, Torres, even though he strangely looks as though he's not enjoying his football much at the moment, at some point he's going to click he's too good a player not to. But the question will be, will Spain decide to bore everyone and themselves to death with this?
Sounds like you're suggesting they might have learnt their lesson against Italy and that Ireland could pay the price for that.
Well, no, I'm suggesting they should have learnt their lesson,
right.
But they may well revert to type and just assume that they'll be able to pass the way through the Irish. I'm guessing the Irish won't be exactly expansive themselves, so it might not be a goal fest.
Right. All right, then.
It's Keith Andrews and Glenn Whelan, probably in midfield for Ireland. How on earth are they going to cope with Spain attacking them like mosquitoes or bees? I would love to think, and you know, there is a chance we could get a result, but it's so unlikely as to be negligible.
And on that note, we come to the end of today's Euro 2012 Football Daily. There is another one along tomorrow, fear not. But in the meantime, many thanks to Scott Murray and to Barry Glendening. Enjoy your time off, and guest producer Ian. Listeners, we'll be back in 24 hours. See you then.
Euro 2012 Football Daily. Woof.